Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
You didn't have to set me up with David.
Didn't we?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 26, Flirting with Disaster. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Any site business up top that you would like to discuss?
Oh my God. Wow. You're really milking this one, aren't you? There was 2 minutes of relative silence in last episode's release, which I corrected half a day later. So if you heard the early version, congratulations. You listened to a collector's item. If you like the sound of Sarah shuffling papers and us talking about the schedule of a different podcast, hey, you're in luck.
We also should tell you that the Pleasure Hut t-shirt is up at Clarkwear.com, as is Mad, Bad, and Dangerous Snow. It's back. And
you want to know how many people bought the Sex Out shirt? Zero.
Oh, no. Sex Out is gone already?
No, nobody's bought it.
Oh, no.
Even the person that suggested it's like, nah.
There's also a Sex Out 96 t-shirt. Get on it. Guess Dave sounds like he's going to pull it soon.
You'll have to draw your own hyphen on there, but that was a show choice, not our choice.
Indeed. Speaking of choices, let's choose to the terrible segue. Go ahead with this podcast.
Let's reflect upon our own. Yeah.
Indeed. Starting with our C plot, the gang goes camping. So the three gang couples, I always forget Joe and Donna because they are so boring, take forever packing someone's van to go camping because clip two.
Spring break, here we come.
I left in some of the bad music. It's the tempiest temp music ever, but yes. It's fucking spring break. It's their 15th school break this semester. Weren't they just skiing like 2 weeks ago?
And what's with the steel drums?
I don't know.
Going into the woods, not to Jamaica.
Yeah. Whatever was originally there, they could have found something better to replace it. But anyway, they drive for a while and then stop for strawberries or to pee or look at wildflowers. Frankly, this trip is a total mess already when they see three women messing around with flat tire. And this happens. Clip three.
Go help them.
Nah, they won't appreciate it. They're probably women's livers.
It's 1996, by the way. They're women's libbers. They're not blue stockings or suffragettes.
Round heels.
Indeed.
Oh, that's something else. Never mind. They're probably not that either.
Well, whatever. The dudes all go to help because the ladies are cute and they're surprised to meet gentlemen in this country, as they say. And Steve asks where they're from and they discuss that in clip four.
Canada. Small town in Ontario. I'm sure you've never heard of it.
Parry Sound?
Parry Sound, home of Hall of Fame hockey player Bobby Orr.
Okay. Jason Priestley is... Go ahead.
My Canadian accent is better than that. It's not Ontario.
No.
Jesus. There's a couple Canadians rattling around LA usually. Find one.
There's one in this scene, and his name is Jason Priestley, and he's a producer this season, and I'm sure wrote that line for himself, even though he's from Vancouver, I think. But anyway, the guy's girlfriends watch from afar, calling them pigs, but not seeming particularly exercised about their flirting. And back at the Canadian's van, there's talk of where to go to see the wildflowers. Brandon and Steve try to entice them to glom onto their party, leaving it to Joe to mention their girlfriends, except he says dates. Like, is this a thing now? You've been all seeing these women for like at minimum 6 months at this point.
Unless you mean the other kind of date, which you don't, because
no.
A, they're not round heels, and B, you're a virgin. But other than that, shut up, Joe.
Indeed. So when they get to their campsite, it turns out, wah, wah, the Canadians are right next door. And just a note about Canadians with regard to this whole storyline. When my sister was in college, a friend of hers was an au pair in Paris and told her that a stereotype that European men believe is that Canadian girls are trampy. So if anyone out there can confirm that this is something that is known or believed outside of the nation, please let me know. I would love to find out.
Stud mania out of control.
There you go.
Hey. Stud.
Is this, have you ever heard this, Sarah?
No.
No, I never heard that.
All right. Cannot confirm whether Leah or her friend are trampy or were. They are both married now.
I think, wouldn't it just be like young people that have the get up and go and desire to just backpack over Europe.
Our free spirits.
Yes.
Yes. Perhaps. Anyway, the guys also.
And
yes.
If I may, Canadians are the ones that will put Canadian patches on their backpacks to say to the world, I am not American. Mm-hmm. So the.
Except when Americans were doing.
Yes. Except when America started doing it because, yeah. Right. But back in the day.
Right.
Right. So now you have foreigners with, adventurous outtakes
foreigners.
On life,
okay, Joe.
Plus easy identification on their backpack. So I think that could be why.
Maybe.
I think we cracked it.
Perhaps.
I'm going to celebrate with a Coke Zero.
Okay. Speaking of cracking it. Anyway, the guys all show up now with their girlfriends / dates, and there's small talk about the flat tire and at least one annoying tick from a cast member we know, except Dave is not here to play the clip, so I'm just going to vamp while he's out of the room. Way to go, Dave. More failure on this podcast. Blah, 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 blah. Sarah, how are you?
I'm fine. I'd like to say this is going to be cut out in post, but it's probably not.
It's probably not.
Great opportunity to talk shit about Dave, who's not wearing pants.
He was right. He's still not wearing pants. Dave, please play
pants
clip five.
King.
It's not the worst hing we have ever heard, but yes, it is. It's on the spectrum.
It is a legal hing.
It is. And then the gang girls drag the guys back with them while the Canadians fail at setting up their tent, which is more proof, in addition to their accent, that they're not real Canadians, just saying. And when the gang's all set up and eating dinner, the Canadians are still struggling with their tent. And when Claire looks up, Steve is over there offering to help, and the Canadians are being so loud and annoying that the gang girls finally kick out the guys to go help. And when darkness falls, it turns out the tent can't be raised because the girls are idiots and are missing parts of the tent. And the gang girls toast marshmallows and bicker about whether to go after them and risk looking jealous, and then discuss how pretty the Canadians are, and then Donna peels off to go see what's happening, and then Claire and Susan wait 10 seconds and follow, and when it's settled that the Canadians' tent is useless, the gang girls organize space for them in their two-man tents, leaving the guys to sleep outside, and the next morning, the guys wake up all bedraggled and stiff in the van while the women enjoy their separatist feminist utopia without them, or perhaps I'm projecting.
Hashtag band men.
Hashtag band men. They've made a lovely breakfast, and for some reason, Steve thinks it's a trap. The women want to go on a hike, but the guys are going fishing, and after they've stumbled off, Susan's like, they're acting like this because they know they're wrong. Like, wrong about what? Was a scene dropped? This storyline is so dumb and makes no sense.
Well, and the dates are right there. Like,
yeah.
Joe, in addition to being a whatever from the 50s in a bunch of other ways, there's mm-hmm. absolutely no way he would do this. He's way too square and boring.
Right.
Even Steve would not be this much of a horn dog, like this blatantly. Mm-hmm. It's just so dumb.
Yeah.
And boring.
Like, if you can't think of anything to do with these characters, it's okay to leave them out of the episode. Like, please. But anyway, later, fishing sucks. The Canadians roll up to offer advice on bait, and Brandon once again refers to their dates like, they are your girlfriends of several months, boners. Anyway, he asks if they've seen their dates, and the Canadians are like, totally, they made new friends. We didn't catch their names, but they're guys, as well as nice, funny, and cute. The gang guys are incensed and not jealous, think it's funny, actually, and they pretend for a minute that they're not going to follow up, and then do. And on their defiant walk back, Brandon advises caution about this single-sourced report about their dates, fooling around with guys they just met 10 minutes ago. But Joe is very jealous about Donna sight unseen, and at the campsite, the guys spy with binoculars from a tree. I made a GIF because it's actually pretty funny. When the girls look up and they're all like, yoink, like getting flushed out of the tree like they're in the toilet or something. But the women are alone just cooking dinner and totally know they're being watched. And it's so idiotic. But thank God after this clip, number 6, it is over.
So did you catch any fish?
No. They're all too small. We threw them back.
Oh, that's too bad. We were hoping to have a fish fry.
Really? For how many?
What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, Donna. You think we don't know what you guys are up to?
Yeah. Where are they? Aren't you going to introduce us?
To who?
The guys you've been hanging out with.
Oh, you mean Hook.
Hook? Hook who?
Oh, line.
I think I see a pattern forming.
And sinker. We're kidding. We set you up. There aren't any guys.
Busted. Jealous maybe just a little?
Hardly.
Yeah, well, that's not what our little Canadian friends told us.
Oh, yeah? Well, I hope you guys are proud of yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, now that we're even, we have something to say to you.
This better be good.
Well, we were a little hard on you. Truth of the matter is, we were a little jealous, so we overreacted a little.
Yeah, and we're not ashamed to admit it.
Well, we have to admit that we were flirting. That was inconsiderate of us, right, guys?
Not?
Speak for yourself.
Okay, maybe a little.
We're sorry, too.
Thank you. That's what we wanted to hear.
You guys are the greatest.
Well, we'd hope you figured that out.
Come over here. Some bait I'm using. It's a special
barf.
What is this light
what
FM?
What is this music? Welcome to the Hotel Channel's Adult Selections.
God, the end. So there is a B plot, but first we have a message from Stacey.
Stacey is a huge fan of the original 90210 and the Again With This podcast, and is about to undertake a huge walk, specifically the Avon 39 walk in Boston, the walk to end breast cancer. The walk is 39 miles over 2 days,
yikes,
and she's doing it with her boyfriend, Heath. There's no one else she'd rather walk with for 39 miles on hot pavement in Boston in June.
Stacey and Heath are trying to get creative with soliciting donations, thus this ad, and are even raffling off Sox Yanks tickets. For every $50 donated, you get entered into the raffle.
You'll find links to their donation pages in our show notes. Every bit helps. But in the meantime, we'd like to show our support with the Again With This Brandon 5 Challenge. 5 ways a long walk with Brandon Walsh might be made more palatable.
I'm so glad this is number one. A reimagining of Stephen King's The Long Walk, in which Brandon is the first contestant killed.
And the next 50. Number 2, Brandon joins Brenda and Dylan on their pier fishing cut day, but keeps on strolling off the end of the pier and is eaten by a shark.
Number 3, Jim finally gets fed up with having to repair Brandon's stupid cars and makes him push the Mustang home from the rave.
Number 4, instead of waiting for the ski patrol to rescue him and Susan, Brandon walks out into the blizzard to get help and is eaten by a bear.
The bear then spits him out because too small. On number 5, on a fundraising walk, much like Stacey and Heath's, for a cause he has only just learned about but nevertheless considers himself qualified to lecture others on because Brandon, a bee sails into his trap mid-bray, stings the length of his esophagus, and kills him.
May the buzz you feel on your walk, Stacey and Heath, be endorphins. And from all of us, and again with this,
good luck! Again, go to the show page at previously.tv for links to the donation page for Stacey and Heath and this very, very worthy cause.
Or in your show notes on your app.
Indeed.
It works that way too now.
Correct. Moving on to our B plot, Colin goes head to head with his father. Val gets freaked out by a knock at the door at Colin's studio, which turns out to be his father, whose name is Graham, with a guide dog because he's blind. And she's super nervous and weird around him, and he is not impressed by her because he's blind and he can't see her boobs. Later, he's a lot warmer after Val has plied him with lasagna, and he opens up about his troubled relationship with Colin in clip 7.
You know, I have to say, Colin hasn't mentioned you to me before.
I'm not surprised. When I came back from Vietnam without my peepers, it wasn't much good to anyone.
Wait, you came back from Vietnam without his eyes? Because I heard, gave you the Vietnam without my peepers.
That's what he said.
Oh, poor peepers.
Yeah. But, like, is he saying that he's been worthless for Colin's entire life? Because isn't Colin supposed to be, like, around our age, which would make him one when his dad came home from Vietnam, if that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. He says Colin's mom remarried. He and Colin haven't spent time together in 5 years. He's going to be staying at the VA while he's in town. He has heard that Colin's career is going well, which Val confirms, and then things go off the rails again in clip 8.
And it's a good thing, because it's the only thing that keeps him out of trouble. You his girlfriend? You live here?
Hey, Val. Sorry I took so long. It smells good.
I've been called worse. Sit down, son. Have something to eat. Your girlfriend here, or whoever she is, isn't a bad cook.
You don't call. You don't write. You just show up.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. Why, you want me to leave?
No.
Okay.
This is all so stupid, dude. This, what a waste of time. More proof that these seasons did not need to be this long in any way.
Yeah. Also, it's Colin. Who cares?
Exactly. Later, while Colin fumes by the kitchen counter, Val asks Graham the story of how he lost his vision. Short version, he's still furious, and so is Colin, except with less cause in clip 9.
Let me tell you, there was no Forrest Gump around to drag my blind butt out of there.
All right, that's enough.
Hey, 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 since when do you tell me what to do? See, you're still not even good enough to clean my paintbrushes.
You listen to me, all right? You're in my house. I don't have to listen to your war stories. I don't have to be put down. You hear me? You hear me? I think it's time for you to go.
Okay, okay, okay. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Why don't you sit down, right?
What?
Is that a little too much to drink? You shouldn't be going out anywhere. Just let him stay here. We'll go home.
That's right. I shouldn't be going anywhere. Let me stay here.
Come on, Mr. Robinson. So, let's get you to bed, okay?
Hey, you got a good woman here, son. I'm sure you'll screw it up.
Really rude.
I mean, true. A.
Yeah.
B. I would rather go to the average shithole VA than spend 2 minutes in Colin's shitty apartment. And C, how does he know how good or not good Colin's art is? I mean, he's correct.
Yeah.
But if he's been blind since latest the 70s,
mm-hmm.
How would he know either way?
Well, we're going to find out later, and it's also really stupid, but yes. I mean, a kind reading of that line would be like, you're not fit to clean my brushes, not because of your artistic talent, but because of you as a person, which, okay,
yeah.
Cool sign, but...
I mean, I'm happy to take it that way.
Either way, all of this is dumb. So, the next morning, Colin is angry painting when Val comes home. Well, Graham's out walking the dog. She asks if he's told his dad yet about how he's going to prison, but Colin didn't because he didn't want the abuse. And Val says he might need his dad, and Colin is a bitch about it in clip 10.
Come on. He came all the way out here to see you.
You know, Valerie, for a smart girl, sometimes you say a lot of dumb things. Why do you think he came back? Huh? Because he missed his sonny boy? I don't think so. He wants something. Probably money.
Oh, do you have some? Maybe give it to Val so she doesn't have to pay for your lawyer.
Seriously? Oh, wait. He spent it all on coke. Oh, shit.
Burn. Anyway, the fight goes on in clip 11.
You know, you just think the worst about people, don't you?
No. No, I don't. Just my father. You know what? You'll see. When he comes back, he'll be all apologetic, feeling good and sorry for himself, and then he'll lay it out.
Like father, like son.
Ah. Nice.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, now every woman just has to apologize to their boyfriend on this show? That's now policy? Great.
I mean, she's exactly right.
Yeah. He is. She is.
Even Colin was like, nice, like, whatever. It's uh-huh. Because Jason Wiles is a bad actor, but on, like, it's not the same when you're watching it, but on audio, it really does sound like he's like, fair. because it is.
Yep. So Graham comes back bitching about how weird the city is, and Colin defends it like, since when? But anyway, Val goes to try to smooth things over, but Colin is at a 10 still and just asks Graham straight up how much money he wants. But turns out Graham's there because he knows about Colin's legal issues and he thought he might need a hand. And then Colin is mad that Graham didn't say anything about that earlier, and Graham is ready to leave Colin all in his own stupid lonesome. But when Val says that if Colin lets him go, she's leaving too, Colin gets over himself and apologizes for not saying anything. And then when we see them next, Colin has brought his dad to the Peach Pit to let him feel his mural. Like, I mean, I'm the last person to, I don't know how blind people experience art, but if the whole thing is like he's an, I don't know what he's getting out of this except like, yep, that's a brushstroke. Like, I don't get it.
It's shaped as stupidly as your previous work. Confirmed, Colin Robbins original.
Right. Ugh. Perhaps because he can only feel it, Graham says it's good and assures him that this is just Colin's rainy season, but his sun will shine again. And Colin believes him and later tells Val about his dad taking him to art museums when he was a kid and teaching him about the paintings from memory. Val says she misses her dad every day, but realizes more and more what he gave her. And Colin knows what his dad gave him in clip 12.
He may have been blind, but he taught me how to see.
Bar!
Come on, man.
You can, fend off your foe with a balanced attack when you can balance attack hammer on your head.
Anyway, Val is proud of Colin. Moving on to our A plot, but first, Dave.
Again with this, listeners, do you or a loved one suffer from mesothelioma?
Hey!
If you do, please tweet at Tara or Sarah and let them know, and we'll get our lawyers right on it.
Oh, boy. And now our A-plot. Tara goes somewhat crazy. So Tara the Creep plays and replays Kelly's outgoing answering machine message while outside Greg walks Kelly home from a date. They've just been to a movie and apparently not the first. And when he goes in for a kiss, Tara the cock block comes straight out to interrupt, fake apologize, and take too long to go back inside. And when she finally does, Greg asks Kelly how it's going with her, and Kelly finally admits that her roommates are over Tara, but that her staying there is not forever. And inside, Tara watches, how else, creepily, and mimics Kelly's answering machine voice. Done. Kelly then treats Tara to a luxurious meal at the Peach Pit. Where else? Tara asks where Greg is taking Kelly tonight, and for a med student, he sure seems to have a lot of nights free. Did you observe that too? Like, I thought you were working like 18-hour shifts 9 days a week or something when you're a med student.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what ER told us, and it must be true.
It sure did. Kelly says they're going bowling and then invites the cock block to come, and Tara says this, clip 13.
I hate being a third wheel.
That's because the expression is fifth wheel. Fifth wheel.
Yeah.
I know you didn't have a lot of time on the streets to learn grammar, but holy shit, TV writers. And also, do not form a drinking game involving the phrase on the streets, because you're going to hear it seriously every 90 seconds for the next two episodes. So pace yourselves.
So she goes to the bathroom, and when David enters and sits with Kelly, Kelly winds him into coming with them as Tara's date. And that night, Tara stresses about what to wear bowling, and she says that Kelly didn't have to set her up with David, and Kelly lies that David wouldn't be going with Tara if he didn't like her. And then Tara gets way too far ahead of herself and acts fake naive in clip 14.
So how do you know when to sleep with a guy anyway?
What?
I know I always do it too soon or too late. I mean, how many dates should you go on anyway?
I don't know. With me, it's until I feel like I can't wait anymore.
Ugh.
What about you and Greg?
I can't wait anymore. Are you done with the bathroom?
Yeah.
I'm Kelly Taylor. And Greg, I can't wait anymore.
I mean, she sinks her teeth in, but she's just not good. And also, like, who cares? This is someone we just met, like, what, five episodes, six, maybe?
Yeah. It seems like 20.
Mm.
But yeah.
Anyway.
And, I don't know. I mean, and can we not use the baby voice to be talking about getting ready to have sexual intercourse?
Oh,
adult
I know.
Who votes.
Honestly.
I can't wait anymore.
Fuck you.
Unfortunately, there is much more to this storyline, but let's take a break from the crazy to address a different kind of crazy. Hallie, not the crazy to whom we refer, writes, to my fellow involuntary inhabitants of the dystopia, co-listeners, persisters, and resistors, thank you for not giving in to despair when there are so many reasons to despair.
Like me, she continues, I hope you are learning the names of your congresspersons, staffers, sending postcards, going to indivisible and swing left meetings, helping out the anti-gerrymandering folks, supporting decarceration and fair policing, and making local politics relevant again.
Anti-gerrymandering, by the way, in the news this week as we record this, as the head of the census quit, which is probably only going to assist in gerrymandering efforts for 2020 and beyond or before. Great. Back to Hallie's letter. Me, I'm keeping an eye on the Quakers, she writes, because the Northeast is full of them and they have a pretty good record of being on the right side of history. This is my birthday message to all of you and me.
Well, says Sarah, the Northeast is full of a lot of things and not all the Quakers have covered themselves in glory. Tricky dick. But most of the ones you've heard of are pretty good eggs, and they're definitely better at their chosen professions than the Zipsters. Even Nixon.
God, true.
Without further ado, five famous Quakers who suck decidedly less at their jobs than the Hillsters.
Number one, John Cadbury, chocolatier and activist who, while he championed many causes, probably knew enough to actually charge for a fruit and nut bar. Nate.
Leave off the extra E for savings. Number two, Bonnie Raitt, who plays guitar far better than Ray Pruitt and has way better hair and enough T's at the end of her name.
Number three, Judi Dench, who is a far better actress than Brenda, sorry girl, and essays a French accent more convincingly as well, although who doesn't?
Number four, Annie Oakley, who twirled a six shooter more expertly, read less fatally, than Dead Scott. Too soon?
And number five, finally, Edward R. Murrow, a better journalist sleeping off a bender than Brandon is on the best day of his life.
From our little society of friends to Hallie,
happy birthday! Back to our A-plot. At the alley, bowling occurs, also flirting, and Tara possessively linking arms with Greg as soon as Kelly turns her back.
I'm sorry. Bowling occurs. This episode is really fucking terrible, you guys. I'm really struggling to find enjoyment. And here it is with that phrasing. Indeed. I'm sorry. Please continue.
Later, there's trash talk for David and Kelly who lost. And when they go to get food, Tara talks up Kelly to Greg and says how much Kelly likes him. And he asks about her and David. She says she doesn't want to get involved with David because it's too soon after rehab. And they discuss that further in clip 15.
After all you've been through, knowing your limits is very important.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think I know my limits pretty well. Kelly, I'm worried about.
How do you mean?
She'd kill me for telling you this, but I really think she's on edge. I mean, I don't think she could handle taking anything else on, or anyone. She told me getting involved with you is too much for her now. She's afraid. How would she manage to stay clean?
All right, double or nothing, student union. Darts.
Darts. Listen, it's getting a little late. I should take you home.
Oh, not a chance.
No, not till revenge is ours.
I got early rounds in the morning. I'm sorry. This guy's mine.
Oh, man, what got into him?
I have no idea.
Can't David hear the foreboding music?
And even if he can't, could he put any fucking effort into his line readings at all?
Yeah, he's cute, but he's not good.
No.
Do we also think that since this was like 2 years after the premiere of ER, he was explicitly cast because he looks kind of like Noah Wiley?
He does look like Noah Wiley. Yeah, probably.
Again, with the making our own fun. Everyone makes it back to the apartment. David immediately tries to leave because he is not into Tara. So she tries to head off awkwardness at the pass by saying she only wants to be friends and she's probably not his type anyway. And he's like, silence, and then leaves. And inside, Kelly tries to baby voice Greg into a walk on the beach, but he has early rounds, he says again. Plus, he's so dumb that Tara has successfully manipulated him, as we hear in clip 16.
It's just, I don't know, maybe we should just cool off a little bit until you get back on your feet.
So that's your prescription? Take a month off, call you in the morning?
Something like that.
But I want to see you.
I want to see you too. Considering what you've been through, maybe it's just best we don't rush right into this.
Maybe you should have thought of that before you ever asked me out.
Probably should have. Sorry.
Look, don't, Aria, just go.
Whatever you say.
Psycho wind chimes.
In the visual aids, there is a gif of her celebration. Yes, because she's crazy. The next morning, Kelly goes for her session with Dr. Browning, and Tara encourages her to look for Greg and tell him she was right about them slowing down. And as soon as she's gone, she gets on the phone in clip 17.
Hi. Yes. I'd like to order 2 bouquets of flowers. Mm-hmm. The first one is to be delivered to a Greg McKean of L.A. Memorial Hospital. Pediatrics. That's lovely. Yeah, there's a note. Dear Greg, these flowers are the best way that I can think of to tell you not to call me anymore. Regards, Kelly. How soon can those be delivered? That's great. The second are going to be delivered to Kelly Taylor.
Regards? Like, that should be how he knows it's fucking fake. Who would write that? Fucking flowers.
And also, how is she paying for these flowers?
I did not even think of that. That's such a good point. She doesn't have a credit card.
Who sends flowers to be like, leave me alone? Right. No one? So weird. I mean, it ends up with Kelly basically getting dissed by Greg, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But
that's the next scene of this plot line, which the worst part is that she goes to like see the nurse in the pediatrics department. She's like, sure, Greg's in the back, and like goes to get him and then comes back and is like, Greg's really busy. And then she's like, oh, wait. And the nurse is like, no, he said he doesn't want to see you. Like, really, Greg, you're making the fucking nurse do your dirty work for you? Grow up. Poor nurse. She deserves better, even though we've never seen her before and never will see her again. Tara's watching TV when Kelly comes back all pouty and blaming herself for being too into Greg. And that's when the doorbell rings. And when Kelly gets it, it's a bouquet of flowers for her. According to the card, they're a very polite blow-off from Greg, but we know they're not. End of plotline. I mean, for today. Alas, it continues into the next episode, which we will be discussing in great detail with Dave, a full participant.
Dave.
And that's it. Let's wrap it up with our MVP. Oh, God. Everyone was kind of a dipshit in this one. Heidi, the dog?
Sure. I'm going to go with the nurse, who seemed to actually enjoy being at the nexus of the hot goss about Greg's failed relationship with Kelly and her being a bitch about it. So yeah, the nurse.
All right, least valuable player. Greg, who was suspicious from the start about Tara moving in with Kelly, but now is like, nope, she's 100% on the level, no problem, I better listen to her.
Yeah, it's really hard to choose. Everyone's fucking terrible. I'm gonna go with whatever Canadians pronounce it, Ontario.
Also, all three of them collectively for not having all the pieces of their fucking tent. Get it together, Canadians.
Confederate that tent.
Indeed. All right, let's do the Couch Baron Challenge. Five things Brandon could have brayed about from this episode. Sarah, why don't you start?
The Canadians not knowing that Bobby Orr was from Parry Sound.
He could have brayed about the suggestion that they try to catch fish with bubble gum, which one of the Canadians says it seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. He could have brayed about tent management since he's an expert camper, apparently, even though he almost fell off a cliff that time.
He could have brayed about the other two guys hogging the binoculars while they were spying on their dates.
And he could have brayed about the fact that his immovable hair was actually messed up by having to spend the night in the van.
All right, that makes five.
Sure does. Next time on Again With This, don't let the psycho wind chimes, the strike the match video, and Tara's pizzazz distract you from the insane clown recruitment offer Brandon gets from the Globe based on op-ed braying and his obits at the Herald. You'll be writing an obit for your lunch when you get a load of our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. Oh no, am I losing it? Okay. And every episode of Again With This, which you can find on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previously.tv and this very podcast at AWT90210. I'm Fifth Wheel, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. I'm here with Women's Liber, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Small Town in Ontario, David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeperoni.
Too much coffee.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.